Chapter 8. If, seasons forbid, there were ever a competition to find the loudest snorer in all Mossflower, Humphrey's Pickle would win hands down. Even as a tiny babe, he was renowned for his nocturnal snoring. In his wisdom, Father Aberglisson promoted the young Humphrey to the gatehouse at the first opportunity. That way, it was only on placid summer nights, with a breeze drifting in from the west, that he could be heard inside the abbey. In the dormitory that night, the soothing sound of raindrops pattering on the shutters was rudely shattered. Humphrey had begun snoring. Every beast was wakened by his stentorian efforts, including the Dibbons. The tiny mouse babe roared.
Good my gracious! I think someone better chop off his snout. That'll stop him, I think.
Even well-aimed pillows did nothing to halt the snoring gatehousekeeper's noisy slumber. Then the dormitory door flew open to reveal the dreaded figure of Brother Turrilus, holding a lantern.
What is that horrific din?
Mole Babe Dugri pointed a small digging claw at the culprit.
There be, sir, brother. I'm a snoring. Boy, okey, I ain't heard nothing like it.
Brother Turrilus was experienced in snoring problems, particularly in hedgehogs. Producing a small jar of rosehip syrup from his night pouch, he poured some over the sleeping Humphrey's foot paws. Turrilus prodded the hedgehog's gently rising stomach twice with a thin piece of rowan wood. Humphrey promptly curled up into a tight ball, as hedgehogs do. A moment later, he was sleeping soundly and silently. Dugri wrinkled his tiny button snout.
What did he do, sir?
The infirmary keeper explained briefly.
Smeared his foot paws with sweet rosehip syrup and made him curl into a hog ball. He won't be snoring again tonight, just sucking his foot paws. Now, back to sleep, all of you, and not another sound.
Within moments of the brothers' departure, every beast was back sleeping peacefully, with the exception of two, both Dibbons. Firth, the infant squirrel, watched the very tiny mouse babe creeping toward the door. She shook a warning paw, whispering,
"Back in a bed or brother will chop a tail off."
But the mouse babe was not easily deterred.
"I'm gonna find a key and win a big, big trifle."
Like a flash, Firth was out of bed and with him.
"I go with you. Firth likes trifles."
Having found the gatehouse deserted, the group of whites flickered across the lawns to the abbey's front door. Two of the pale flames landed on the simple latching device, weighing it down. The others waited patiently until the door creaked ajar. Silent as a breeze wending amidst gravestones, they drifted inside. Samalus and the Laird Bosey were still seated at the dining table in Great Hall. It was peaceful in there, a place of shadows and dim light. Both creatures' eyelids were drooping, their heads nodding forward, paws loosely clasping tankards, which now held only the dregs of good October ale. Samalus felt the draught from outside. Shivering, he scowled.
"Oh, feel that! Somebody's left a blinking door open. Those young'uns, you'd think they was born in a field."
Bosey watched him shuffling over the worn stone floor.
"I'm no afeard of a wee draught. Oh, if you're here for the Highlands, you get to know what cold really is, my friend."